A sloth, a donkey, and a curious human send a prompt and see what they're doing. One hits a record with a question on his mind. Two brothers pick it up, see what they find. Corn takes his time, Herman's got the facts. Back and forth, they never hold back. My weird prompts, come on in, that's where we begin. My weird prompts, glad you're here.
This episode was generated using artificial intelligence. Please verify facts.
Hey, Herman and Corin. So as you know, and as I've mentioned many times, I've been using voice dictation for a year and a half at this point. And by using it, I mean that I've basically gone full time from all of my typing being at a keyboard to I use voice dictation, speech to text, much more than I type or for the majority of everything that I do on different devices. And over the course of that year and a half, as I sort of got more into it and realized that, wait, this is actually something this can be something I'm sticking with. Cautiously bought a few things just to feel like I had the right gear. So, but not really a huge amount has changed about that core setup, by which I mean, I've tried gooseneck microphones, lav mics, a few other ones, and basically come to the conclusion that it's more about how close is the microphone to your mouth. Which is why the headset is what I'd recommend to anyone getting into this, because it seems to just give the best results. But some of my own benchmarks into word error rate and speech to text accuracy have actually thrown up some unexpected surprisings and unexpected findings, and suggested that beyond the proximity effect, it's kind of how you use the microphone that makes a big difference. So I'm recording this into my OnePlus and actually got the best benchmarks on this phone that exceeded desktop microphones, which was surprising. But the way I've come to use this is this slightly clipped manner of speaking, which I am trying to stop doing when I'm doing the podcast episodes. But just you kind of learn how you get the best results from speech to text. What I was intrigued with initially when I was getting into this is actually much more fundamental questions about what's going to change accuracy. Those were things like, how much of a difference does background noise make? So if I bring my phone, now that I've sort of settled on the microphone and how to address the phone, but if I'm in a noisy cafe as opposed to my quiet living room, is that going to ruin the audio quality, or is that going to ruin the accuracy? And what about if there's someone in the background having a faintly audible conversation? Other basic factors were, what about the rate of speech? You would assume that if you speak really slowly, you might get better accuracy. And conversely, that if you speak very quickly, you'll get worse accuracy. And what I actually found on my benchmarks was that none of these things actually made a vast difference. To my surprise, I even tried one out when I whispered, like actually whispered into the microphone and then read the same thing out loud. And not a big difference in word error rate. I'm talking about benchmarks on whisper. So what I'd love to get into today, Herman and Corin, this is me as one data point telling you what I found. But I'd love to know what the literature and the research, because there has definitely been research on everything ASR related, actually says about these determinants of quality. To what extent does clear enunciation make a measurable difference in WER? Is there a magic speaking rate that improves accuracy? And what about background noises? Here's one thing actually with background conversations is, as you know, I live in Israel. So most of the background conversations I pick up are in Hebrew or Arabic or French, or different languages. And I wonder sometimes, does that actually make them less problematic because they're different than the language I'm actually dictating in, as opposed to if I was trying to write an email in a queue at Disneyland and people were saying behind me, why is this guy writing an email on his phone? Would that get picked up? That's really it, Herman and Corin. What are the factors for those who are invested in dictation that actually produce the best and most accurate results? Over to you two.
Daniel's been running his own benchmarks on dictation accuracy. Different microphones, different environments, whispering versus speaking normally, background noise, background conversations in different languages, and what he found is that a lot of the things you'd assume would wreck your word error rate just didn't. Which honestly makes me wonder how much of the conventional wisdom around dictation setup is just audio superstition.
The thing is, he's not wrong to be surprised. I went through basically the same arc when I started looking at the actual research. Most people, and I include myself in this from my early days, assume that speech-to-text is like a microphone physics problem. Get closer, eliminate noise, speak clearly, and your accuracy goes up, and that's true for the acoustic signal. But modern ASR systems, especially end-to-end neural bottles like Whisper, are doing something fundamentally different than just matching waveforms to phonemes.
By the way, today's episode is powered by DeepSeek V4 Pro, so if the discussion feels unusually precise, that might be why.
Fitting, given we're talking about precision. So let me start with the thing that I think most people get wrong, and it's the central finding in a lot of the recent literature. Modern ASR. Systems are robust to acoustic degradation in ways that would have seemed impossible 10 years ago. There was a paper from a group at Johns Hopkins. They did a systematic evaluation of Whisper's robustness across different noise conditions, and what they found was that adding background noise at moderate levels, like cafe-level noise, barely moved the word error rate. We're talking a shift from maybe 3% to 4 or 5%. That's not nothing, but it's not the collapse people expect.
Daniel mentioned he was getting better results on his phone than on desktop microphones, so that tracks. The phone's mic array and the processing pipeline on modern smartphones are actually optimized for exactly this kind of far-field speech pickup. Meanwhile, a lot of desktop USB mics are designed for podcasting, where you want a wide, warm capture, which actually introduces room reflections that the ASR model then has to disentangle.
And this connects to something that I think is the real headline from the research. The single biggest predictor of word error rate isn't microphone proximity or background noise, it's domain match. What I mean by that is, how similar is the audio you're feeding the model to the kind of audio it was trained on? Whisper was trained on something like 680,000 hours of labeled audio, and a huge chunk of that is, you guessed it, slightly compressed, variable distance, real-world speech, phone calls, YouTube videos, podcasts. So when you feed it a pristine studio recording, that's actually somewhat out of distribution.
You're saying the model is more comfortable with messy audio.
I'm saying the model was literally raised on messy audio. Its internal representations are built around the statistical regularities of slightly degraded speech. So when Daniel says he got his best benchmarks on a OnePlus phone speaking in what he calls a slightly clipped manner, he's not hallucinating. He's accidentally matching the training distribution.
This is where I want to dig into the rate of speech thing, because Daniel's finding that speaking slowly didn't improve accuracy, and speaking quickly didn't hurt it. That's counterintuitive, but well supported. There was a meta-analysis out of Carnegie Mellon, I think it was 2023, that looked at speaking rate and ASR accuracy across about a dozen modern systems. The takeaway was that for neural end-to-end models, speaking rate has almost no effect within a pretty wide band. If you're speaking at a normal conversational pace, say 140 to 180 words per minute, the model doesn't care. The errors that do occur at very fast rates aren't from the rate itself. They're from co-articulation. You start blending phonemes together in ways that the model's training data might not have covered.
Right, and co-articulation is the actual mechanism. When you speak quickly, you're not just playing the same phonemes faster. You're changing the acoustic realization of the phonemes. Did you becomes didja. Going to becomes gonna. And the model handles those just fine if they appeared in training, which for Whisper, they absolutely did. What the model struggles with is core articulation patterns that are specific to a dialect or an individual speaker that weren't well represented in the training data. So if Daniel has a particular clip style that he's developed for months of optimizing for the model, he's essentially trained himself into the model's comfort zone.
Which raises a slightly unsettling question. Are we training the humans or the machines here?
Both. And that's actually the state of the field. There's a concept called speaker adaptation, and it goes both ways. The system adapts to you. Whisper doesn't do real-time speaker adaptation in the classic sense, but the large context window on the newer versions lets it use your earlier utterances to inform its predictions for later ones. And you adapt to the system, You learn which words it consistently gets wrong. You learn to pause slightly before proper nouns. You develop a dictation voice. It's a coevolution.
Daniel mentioned something that I think is worth pulling apart, which is that he tried whispering and reading the same passage out loud, and the word error rate difference was negligible. That one surprised me. Whispered speech is acoustically totally different from phonated speech. No vocal fold vibration, so no fundamental frequency, no harmonic structure. It's basically noise shaped by the vocal tract.
Yet, whisper handles it. There's a paper from 2024, a group at ETH Zurich, I believe, that specifically evaluated whisper on whispered speech. They found that the word error rate was higher than normal speech, but not dramatically so. We're talking maybe a 15 to 20% relative increase. So if your baseline is 3%, whispered speech might push you to 3.6 or 4%. That's usable. The model is picking up on the Forman structure. The resonant frequencies of your vocal tract, which are preserved in whispered speech even without the vocal fold vibration. And it turns out, formants carry a huge amount of the information needed to disambiguate phonemes.
The secret is that the model doesn't actually need your vocal cords. It just needs your mouth shape.
More or less. And this is a good example of why the better microphone equals better accuracy. Heuristic breaks down. A better microphone will give you a cleaner recording of the acoustic signal, but the acoustic signal is only the input. The model is doing inference over a learned distribution of what speech sounds like. If the model has seen enough whispered speech in training, and Whisper's training data includes a lot of lecture recordings, ASMR content, all sorts of non-standard vocalizations, then it can generalize.
Let's talk about the background conversation thing, because Daniel raised a really specific and interesting question. He lives in Israel, so the background conversations he picks up are in Hebrew, Arabic, French, languages other than the English he's dictating in. And he wondered whether that actually makes them less problematic, because they're in a different language. My intuition says yes, but I want to know if the research backs that up.
It does, and the reason is pretty elegant. Modern multilingual ASR systems, and Whisper is multilingual, it was trained on 97 languages, have what's essentially a language identification module baked into the encoder. When the model processes audio, it's not just transcribing, it's simultaneously inferring what language is being spoken. So when background speech in Hebrew enters the audio stream, the model's language identification head is saying, "That's not English," and the English decoder can effectively ignore those acoustic features. It's not perfect. If the background Hebrew is loud enough to mask the English foreground, you'll get errors. But for the kind of faint background conversation Daniel described, the language mismatch is actually a feature, not a bug.
Whereas if he were dictating in English at Disneyland and someone behind him was also speaking English, the model would have a harder time separating the two streams because they'd be competing for the same decoder pathway.
This is the cocktail party problem, and it's one of the hardest problems in speech processing. Humans are remarkably good at it. We can focus on a single speaker in a room full of conversations, even when those conversations are in the same language. Machines are getting better, but they're not there yet. The language mismatch gives the model an extra dimension of separation. It's like having a color filter when you're trying to separate two overlapping images. If one is red and one is blue, it's easy. If they're both red, you need much more sophisticated processing.
The practical advice for someone who dictates in noisy environments is, hope the background noise is in a different language.
Or, use a system that supports speaker diarization and target speaker extraction. There are commercial systems now. Otter, Fireflies, some of the enterprise ASR. Platforms that let you enroll your voice, and then the model will specifically track your speech stream and suppress everything else. Whisper doesn't do that natively, but there are wrapper tools that add speaker diarization on top.
Daniel also touched on something that I think is under-discussed, which is that he's developed a slightly clipped manner of speaking for dictation. This is the human adaptation side of the coevolution you mentioned, and I've noticed this in myself too. When I'm dictating, I speak differently than when I'm talking to you. It's not quite robotic, but it's flatter, more deliberate about consonant boundaries.
There's actual research on this phenomenon. It's sometimes called computer-directed speech, or Lombard speech for machines. The Lombard effect is the involuntary tendency to speak louder and more clearly in noisy environments. Computer-directed speech is a learned version of that. People unconsciously or consciously modify their speech to optimize for the machine. They hyper-articulate, they reduce their pitch variation, they insert micro-pauses between words. And the fascinating thing is that this can actually backfire with modern systems. Whisper was trained on natural speech, not hyper-articulated speech. So if you overdo the clipping, you might be pushing yourself out of the training distribution again.
Which would explain why Daniel's trying to stop doing it for the podcast, but keeps slipping back into it for dictation. He's found a local optimum that works for his specific setup, but it might not generalize.
This is where I want to bring up a finding that I think is genuinely underappreciated. There was a study, I want to say it was from Microsoft Research, maybe 2025, that looked at the effect of prosody on ASR accuracy. Prosody is the rhythm, stress, and intonation of speech, and what they found was that natural prosody actually improves accuracy. When people speak with normal intonation contours, the pitch goes up at the end of a question, down at the end of a statement, stress falls on the important words, the model does better than when people speak in a monotone. The hypothesis is that prosody carries syntactic information that helps the model disambiguate sentence structure.
That's counterintuitive. You'd think a flatter delivery would be easier to parse, because there's less variation to deal with.
It's easier for a simple signal processing system. For a neural network that's learned statistical regularities across hundreds of thousands of hours of natural speech, the variation is information. Removing it removes cues the model relies on.
The ideal dictation voice isn't robot speak. It's just your normal voice, maybe slightly slowed down, with clear consonant articulation but natural intonation.
That's what the literature suggests. And I think this is actually liberating. It means you don't have to develop a special dictation persona, you can just talk.
Let's get into the microphone proximity thing, because Daniel said he's settled on the headset being the recommendation, and that makes intuitive sense. Get the mic as close to your mouth as possible. Maximize signal-to-noise ratio. But then he also said his phone outperformed desktop mics. So there's something more complicated going on.
Signal-to-noise ratio matters, but it's not the whole story. A headset mic close to your mouth gives you a high SNR, absolutely. But modern phone microphone arrays are doing beamforming. They use multiple microphones to create a directional pickup pattern that focuses on your voice and suppresses sound from other directions. That's computational audio, and it's incredibly sophisticated. The iPhone has had multiple microphones since the iPhone 4, and the signal processing pipeline has gotten better with every generation. Android flagships like the OnePlus are doing the same thing. So even though the phone is farther from your mouth, the effective SNR after beamforming can be comparable to, or better than, a close-talked headset mic, especially if the headset mic is omnidirectional and picks up room reflections.
The desktop mic problem is even worse. Most people have their desktop mic on a stand, maybe a foot or two from their mouth. That's far enough that the direct-to-reverberant ratio drops significantly. The mic is picking up as much room sound as direct sound. And room acoustics are terrible for ASR. You're adding a convolutive distortion that smears the temporal structure of the speech signal.
There's a classic paper from the 80s, this is pre-neural, obviously, that established the direct-to-reverberant ratio as the key predictor of ASR accuracy in enclosed spaces, and the basic finding still holds. You want the direct path from your mouth to the microphone to dominate. A headset achieves that by proximity. A phone achieves it through beamforming. A desktop mic on a boom arm can achieve it if it's positioned correctly, but most people don't position it correctly.
If you're going to use a desktop mic for dictation, the setup matters enormously. You need it close, you need it aimed at your mouth, and you ideally want some acoustic treatment in the room to reduce reflections.
Or you can just use a headset and not worry about any of that, which is why Daniel's recommendation is, for most people, the right one. It's not that headset mics are inherently superior, it's that they're idiot-proof. You put them on, the mic is in the right place, and you're done.
I want to circle back to something Daniel mentioned about his own benchmarks, because he said he was using Whisper, and that's a specific choice with specific implications. Not all ASR are. Systems are created equal, and the factors that affect accuracy can vary significantly depending on the architecture.
The distinction that matters most is between hybrid systems and end-to-end systems. Hybrid systems, which were the state of the art until maybe 5 years ago, Combine an acoustic model, a language model, and a pronunciation lexicon. Each component is trained separately. The acoustic model maps audio to phonemes. The language model predicts word sequences, and the lexicon tells you how words are pronounced. End-to-end systems like Whisper collapse all of that into a single neural network that goes directly from audio to text.
The robustness properties are different.
Hybrid systems are more brittle to acoustic variation because the acoustic model was typically trained on clean, close-talked speech. If you feed it noisy or distant speech, the acoustic model produces garbage phoneme probabilities, and the language model can only do so much to clean it up. End-to-end systems, because they're trained on diverse real-world audio, are much more robust to acoustic variation, but they have their own failure modes. They can hallucinate. They'll sometimes output text that has nothing to do with what was said, especially in long silences or when the input is mostly noise. And they can be overconfident. They output fluent, grammatical text that's completely wrong.
The hallucination thing is worth flagging because it's a failure mode that's very different from what people expect. With a traditional ASR system, when it's uncertain, it'll output something garbled or it'll just leave a blank. With Whisper, it might output a whole sentence that sounds plausible but was never spoken. That's a much more dangerous error because it's harder to catch in proofreading.
There was a study from Cornell, not related to me, unfortunately, that found Whisper hallucinates in about 1% of utterances, and the hallucinations are often grammatically coherent and topically related to the surrounding context. So you're reading through your transcript and everything looks fine, but there's a sentence in there that you never said. It's a real problem for high-stakes applications like medical dictation.
Which brings us to the practical question Daniel is really asking. If you're someone who's gone all in on dictation, what should you actually optimize for?
I'd break it down into 3 tiers. Tier 1, the things that matter the most, use a modern end-to-end ASR system, Whisper Large or the latest commercial equivalents. Keep your microphone reasonably close to your mouth, but don't obsess over it. Speak naturally with normal prosody. And if you're in a noisy environment, try to position yourself so the noise is behind you, not in front of you, so your phone's beamforming can reject it. Tier 2, the things that help at the margins, use a consistent setup so you're not constantly changing the acoustic conditions. If you're using a desktop mic, get it on a boom arm and position it 6 to 8 inches from your mouth, slightly off axis to reduce plosives. Consider a dynamic mic rather than a condenser. Dynamics are less sensitive to room reflections. And if you're regularly dictating in noisy environments, look into systems with speaker enrollment.
Tier 3. The things that probably don't matter as much as people think.
The exact microphone model, assuming it's not terrible. Expensive audio interfaces. Speaking in a special dictation voice, if anything, that might hurt. Ultra-quiet recording environments. A little bit of ambient noise is actually in distribution for the model. And, surprisingly, speaking rate within normal bounds. Just talk like a person.
There's one more thing I want to dig into, and it's the thing Daniel didn't explicitly ask about, but that I think is the real frontier here. All of this, microphone choice, environment, speaking style, is about optimizing the input to the ASRR system. But the biggest gains in accuracy over the next few years aren't going to come from better input. They're going to come from better models.
Better integration with the applications you're using. This is something I've been thinking about a lot. Right now, ASR is mostly treated as a standalone component. You speak, it transcribes, the text goes into whatever you're working on. But the real accuracy improvements come when the ASR system has context about what you're doing. If you're dictating an email, the system should know it's an email and bias its language model toward email, appropriate vocabulary and syntax. If you're writing code, it should know the programming language and bias toward the relevant syntax.
Whisper doesn't do any of that. It's a general-purpose transcription model. It has no idea whether you're writing a text message or a legal brief.
Right, and that's why the hallucination problem is so tricky. Without context, the model is just guessing at the most probable sequence of words given the audio. With context, it could constrain those guesses in meaningful ways. Some of the newer commercial systems are starting to do this. They'll integrate with your calendar, your contacts, your previous messages, and use that to improve accuracy. Apple's on-device dictation has been doing a version of this for years, which is why it handles proper names reasonably well, even though proper names are notoriously hard for ASRR.
The dictation setup of the future isn't really about the microphone at all. It's about the software knowing who you are and what you're trying to do.
I think that's the right way to frame it. The hardware question is largely solved. A modern smartphone with a decent mic and a modern ASSR system will give you usable accuracy in most real-world conditions. The remaining errors aren't acoustic, they're linguistic. They're about the model not knowing that you're talking about your friend Ezra, not the biblical Ezra, or that you're dictating a technical term that's not in the training data.
Which brings me back to Daniel's point about the clipped speaking style. I think what he's doing, probably without fully realizing it, is providing the model with clearer phonemic boundaries, which reduces the ambiguity that leads to linguistic errors. It's a workaround for the model's lack of context. If the model knew what he was talking about, he wouldn't need to do it.
The clip style is a form of hyperarticulation that reduces the search space for the model. By making each word more acoustically distinct, he's giving the model less room to hallucinate. But it's a band-aid. The real solution is better contextual integration.
Let's talk about one more thing that I think is under-discussed in the dictation community, which is the post-processing pipeline. Daniel's benchmarks are measuring raw word error rate from Whisper, but in practice, most people aren't using raw Whisper output. They're running it through some kind of cleanup. Punctuation restoration, capitalization, formatting. And those post-processing steps can introduce their own errors.
Or they can fix errors. A good punctuation model can actually resolve ambiguities in the transcript, if the ASR. Output is, let's eat grandma, and the punctuation model inserts a comma, let's eat grandma. It's effectively corrected a semantic error. But a bad punctuation model can turn a correct transcript into nonsense, and formatting is even trickier. If you're dictating a list, does the system know to format it as bullet points? If you're dictating a date, does it know your preferred date format? These are all places where the pipeline can degrade accuracy even if the raw ASR is perfect.
The word error rate you measure at the Whisper level isn't necessarily the word error rate you experience as a user.
And this is why I always tell people to benchmark their actual end-to-end workflow, not just the ASR component in isolation. Dictate a real email with formatting and punctuation and see what lands in your outbox. That's the metric that matters.
Daniel also raised the question of whether background conversations in different languages are less problematic, and we established that they are. But there's a flip side to the multilingual thing that's worth mentioning. Whisper's multilingual training means it can sometimes switch languages on you. If you're dictating in English and you say a word that sounds like a word in another language, the model might transcribe it in that language. This is especially common with proper names and loanwords.
The language switching problem is real, and it's one of the trade-offs of multilingual models. A monolingual English model would never output Hebrew text, but it would also be worse at handling accented English. The multilingual model handles accents better because it's seen more variation, but it introduces the possibility of language confusion. You're trading one failure mode for another.
Which failure mode would you rather have?
For most users, the multilingual model is better. The accent robustness alone is worth it. And the language switching errors tend to be obvious. You'll see a word in a different script or a clearly non-English word, and you'll catch it in proofreading. The hallucination errors from a monolingual model are harder to catch because they look like valid English.
That's a good heuristic. Prefer errors that are easy to catch.
It sounds obvious, but it's actually a useful design principle for ASR systems. You want the error distribution to be skewed toward detectable errors rather than plausible, looking errors. A garbled word is annoying, but fixable. A fluent hallucination is dangerous.
I want to pull on one more thread from Daniel's message. He mentioned that he's been doing this for a year and a half, and has settled into a core setup that hasn't changed much. And I think that's actually the sign of a mature dictation practice. At some point, you stop optimizing the gear and start optimizing the workflow.
The gear acquisition phase is real, and I went through it too. You buy the gooseneck mic, the lav mic, the desktop condenser, the audio interface, the acoustic panels. And then at some point, you realize that your phone with the default earbuds is giving you 98% of the accuracy with zero setup time, and you stop caring about the last 2%.
Unless the last 2% matters for your use case. If you're a medical transcriber where an error could be life-threatening, you care about every fraction of a percent. If you're dictating emails, you probably don't.
Even in high-stakes domains, the research suggests that human review is still necessary. No ASR system is perfect, and the error modes of neural systems are unpredictable enough that you can't fully trust them for critical applications. The best practice is ASR plus human verification, not ASR alone.
Which is basically what Daniel's doing. He's dictating, then he's proofreading. The ASR is an efficiency tool, not a replacement for human judgment.
And I think that's the healthy way to think about it. Dictation isn't about never touching a keyboard again. It's about reducing the amount of keyboard time. If you can dictate a first draft at 160 words per minute and then spend 2 minutes cleaning it up, you're still way ahead of typing it from scratch at 40 words per minute.
The numbers bear that out. Average typing speed is about 40 words per minute. Average speaking speed is about 150. Even with a 5% word error rate and some editing overhead, dictation is a huge net win for most people.
The editing overhead decreases over time as you learn the system's quirks. You learn which words it consistently gets wrong, and you either avoid them or correct them automatically in your head during proofreading. It becomes a kind of muscle memory.
To synthesize what we've covered, Daniel's findings are consistent with the literature. Microphone proximity matters, but isn't everything. Background noise matters less than you'd think, especially with modern beam-forming phones. Speaking rate is largely irrelevant within normal bounds. Whispering works surprisingly well. Background conversations in other languages are less problematic than same-language background speech. And the biggest accuracy gains going forward are going to come from contextual integration, not better hardware.
I'd add one more thing that we touched on but didn't fully unpack, which is that the training data distribution is the hidden variable behind all of this. When Daniel got better results on his phone than on his desktop mic, that's not because phone mics are inherently better. It's because the model was trained on phone quality audio. When he got good results with his clip speaking style, it's because that style happens to match patterns in the training data. The model is a mirror of its training distribution, and understanding that distribution is the key to understanding what will and won't work.
The advice is, be average. Speak the way people speak in the training data. Use the kind of microphone people used in the training data. Don't try to be too clever.
Be boringly normal, and the model will love you.
Which is maybe the most counterintuitive advice in a field where everyone is trying to optimize everything.
The optimization instinct is natural, but it often leads people to over-engineer their setup in ways that actually hurt. I've seen people build elaborate soundproof booths for dictation, and then they wonder why their accuracy dropped. It dropped because the model had never heard audio that clean before. It didn't know what to do with the silence between words.
The sound of silence has an out-of-distribution problem. That's going to be my new favorite example of how weird modern AI is.
It's a perfect illustration. The model learned that silence has a certain acoustic texture, the hum of a computer fan, distant traffic, room tone. When you remove all of that, the silence becomes unnatural, and the model's voice activity detection gets confused. It starts hallucinating words in the gaps.
The ideal recording environment isn't an anechoic chamber. It's a slightly noisy living room.
Which is, conveniently, where most people already are.
All right, I think we've covered the factors pretty thoroughly. Before we wrap, let me ask you one last thing. If you had to give someone who's just starting with dictation exactly 3 pieces of advice, based on everything we've discussed and the research, what would they be?
First, use a modern end-to-end system, Whisper or a good commercial equivalent. Don't use the built-in dictation on a 10-year-old device. Second, use a headset or your phone's built-in mic. Either will work fine, and the headset is more consistent across environments. Third, speak naturally and proofread carefully. The errors you miss are the ones that matter, and the most dangerous errors are the ones that look correct.
That's solid. I'd maybe add a fourth. Don't chase the last 2%. You can spend $1,000 and 100 hours optimizing your setup for a 2% improvement, or you can just proofread for an extra 30 seconds per email.
The economics of perfectionism are brutal in dictation. The Pareto principle applies. 80% of the accuracy comes from 20% of the optimization effort. Get the basics right and move on with your life.
Now, Hilbert's daily fun fact.
In 1900, the British colonial administrator in Papua New Guinea attempted to standardize local trade by defining one pig as equal to 300 coconuts, but the conversion collapsed because the islanders correctly identified that pig size varied while coconuts were roughly constant, making the exchange rate a one-way bet against anyone holding pigs.
That's a surprisingly sophisticated critique of fixed exchange rates from people who were supposedly being introduced to standardized trade.
The Papua New Guineans invented the short squeeze before Wall Street did.
This has been My Weird Prompts. Thanks to our producer, Hilbert Flumingtop. You can find us at myweirdprompts.com or wherever you get your podcasts. If you enjoyed this episode, leave us a review. It helps.
Until next time.
This episode was generated using Gemini Flash 3. Text-to-speech engine was Chatterbox.
Thanks for listening to our show, My Weird Prompts, where odd thoughts go. From sloth slow takes to facts on cue, we chase the strange and follow through. Some nights it's news, some nights it's lore, a thought you've never heard before. The hosts dig in, the hosts dig deep. The stranger the prompt, the less they sleep. From tiny questions, big ones too, from half-formed hunches to deja vu. If something odd is in your head, send it in, we'll chase the thread. My weird prompts, that's the close. From sloth, from man, from long-eared host. My weird prompts, until next time, stay curious, keep weird in mind.